today is lesson two. We're going to have five lessons because we have five Sundays in the month of August. So today is lesson two, entitled The Devil's Masquerade. You know, in the last days, the Bible teaches us before the second coming of Jesus Christ that there would be an influx, an overabundance of false ministers, false prophets, false teachers, you know, and all of them will be teaching deception. Their message is deception. Jesus warned about it. See, this is the devil's attempt to sabotage the body of Christ by bringing ideas and teachings, philosophies and concepts that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The prevalence of false ministries calls for a spirit of discernment so that we can determine what is of God and what is of the demonic realm. So I hope that this lesson today will give you a little more ammunition to be able to do that, to be able to discern the difference. So let's check out what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, because in these two verses, Jesus is talking about spiritual deception. So the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Many, he says. You see, a false Christ is a pretender who would claim to be one sent from God who is going to save humanity. You know, so that's what a false Christ really is. A pretender, an imposter. We've entitled this lesson, The Devil's Masquerade. Listen to this, what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For such men are false apostles, spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen. Look at this next word, masquerading as apostles. They are masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ the Messiah. And it's no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." There's the usage of the word masquerade again. Twice we find that in these verses of scripture in the Amplified Bible. Then verse 15 says, "So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade," there's the third time, "as ministers of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds." Because they're going to be judged by God. You know, they're not going to last. They will be judged. They will face the judgment of God. So today we're going to talk about that, the devil's masquerade. In our teaching syllabus today, we have three main points that we are going to expound on. The first one is last day's deception. The second main point is false religious leaders. And the third one is our need for discernment. And the Bible gives us some clear guidance and clear insight of how to tell the difference. All right, so let's get started. Let's dive into our first main point about last day's deception. Jesus said that the deception would be so strong, it would be so prevalent, that so many people will be duped by it. And you know, the thing about deception is that you don't know you're deceived. See, that's why it's so important that we stay anchored in the Word of God. So let's talk about this. Let's expound of what last day's deception is all about. First of all, is one of the characteristics of the Antichrist spirit, because he will be active, the spirit of the Antichrist will be active in the realm of the religious world. So we have to look at what's going on in the religious world to really see how prominent deception is. Listen to what this says. First epistle of John chapter 4. Three verses here. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Why? Because the Antichrist spirit is at work. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus said, take heed no one would deceive you. They would come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. So he said, there are many false prophets. By this, you know, the spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Here's the deal with this verse. Any teacher, any preacher, any self-proclaimed prophet, any minister, any religious leader, anybody that would deny the divinity of Jesus Christ and deny the humanity of Jesus Christ, they are not of God. That's why the verse says, verse 2, this is how you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges or every spirit that confesses or acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh, his humanity, is of God. Every spirit that denies that is not of God. To recognize the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ is biblical. Anybody that would try to reinvent the person of Jesus Christ is an imposter. They are part of the devil's plan, the masquerade. Anybody that would reinvent the person of Jesus. Even Paul told the church at Galatia. He said, if I or anyone else would preach to you a different Jesus other than the one that you have learned and been instructed about, let him be accursed. We must never reinvent the person of Christ. The Antichrist spirit seeks to do that. Let's move on. Here's the next thing. See, demon spirits, and we must understand this because this really gives us insight into the prominence of deception. Demon spirits have been released into the cultures of the world system by satanic assignment. And they have been released because their purpose is to deceive, to confuse, and to manipulate the minds of the masses. The kingdom of darkness is a very highly skilled and organized kingdom. Satan is over that kingdom, and he has released his henchmen, his demon spirits. He has released them into the cultures of the world. That's why we cannot get belief systems from the culture. Many people develop a belief system based upon the culture. But the culture, according to what we understand in the Word of God, is under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. So we can't trust that, because those belief systems, those philosophies, those worldviews, they are not rooted in the truth of God's word. They are deceptive. Satan's work is to deceive. See, the word deceive has several definitions that are found in the New Testament. So here are five different Greek words for our English word deceit or deception. Let's run through them real quickly. Number one, the first one means to cheat, to beguile, or to trick, to give a false appearance or a false impression. That's the first definition of the word deceive. Number two, it means to bait, to ensnare, to operate in a spirit of craftiness. In other words, someone who is not on the up and up. Someone who is working underhandedly. Here's the third one. This is the most prominent word for deceit or deception. It means to roam from safety or truth, to wander off course, a moral wandering. So that brings us into immorality, ungodliness, evil, wickedness. People are deceived. They are running from, they are running away. They are roaming away from safety or truth. It is a moral wandering. Here's the fourth one. To deceive in the mind. The battle is in the mind. To become self-centered. To sin against common sense. Man, don't we see that in our world today? I mean, you know, the mind, the way people think, their thought life is influenced by an antichrist spirit. So we live in a world, we live in a culture, we live in a nation that is self-centered. They sin even against common sense. We see it all over. Here's the fifth and final one. To corrupt with false doctrines or notions. To be ensnared by a huckster. Jesus said in the last days, prior to the second coming of Christ, that we would see all of these things happening in the religious world. Spiritual deception would be very prominent. Let's move on. Here's the next thing. See, Satan and his demons are always in disguise. Deception always wears a mask to veil the true identity. He appears as an angel of light. He's always masquerading. That's why the devil has a masquerade party. He doesn't come to you, you know, in a devil suit. He doesn't come with pointed ears and a pitchfork. No. He comes in disguise. Satan and his demons are always in disguise. Here's the next thing. See, the culture of today is now a syncretistic society, totally deceived and given over to lust and to pleasures. Here's the definition of the word syncretism. It is the combining of different beliefs while blending practices of various schools of thought. Syncretism is the inclusive merging of theology and religion into a unified expression. And my friends, we see that all over America today. Syncretism. Paul warned the church at Colossae about these kind of worldviews and concepts. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by this so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Think about it, my friends. How many times do we hear people talk about the power of the universe, the force of the universe, the enlightening of the universe? My friend, those worldviews, those belief systems, those concepts are not rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. They are not rooted in the Word of God. They are drawn from a deceived culture. And Jesus said in the last days, it would be an avalanche of deception. Let's move on to the second part and talk about false religious leaders. I want to visit the book of Jude, little small New Testament book of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. It's one small chapter, but man, is it loaded with insight about apostasy, which simply means a falling away from the faith, and those who would pretend to be of God, but they are not of God. Again, spiritual deception, false leaders, false ministers, false prophets. Look at Jude 2 verses, verse 3 and 4. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." In other words, the foundation of the gospel. He says, "But certain men have crept in unnoticed." Why? Because of Satan's masquerade. They come in unnoticed. He says, "Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God." They reinvent the person of Jesus. They reinvent spiritual truth because it's deceit. It's deception. They turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read verse 12 as well. He says, "These are spots, hidden reefs in your love feasts." Love feasts. That's like a church potluck dinner. You know, that's like a fellowship dinner, you know, at a church or a big celebration, you know, maybe an anniversary or birthday of a church. And, you know, that's what he's talking about when he says love feasts. These are hidden reefs in your love feast, the bond, the unity of the body of Christ. He says, "While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." In these three verses, man, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm going to just have to hit it, you know, real fast and real quick because our time gets away so rapidly. But Jude gives us tremendous insight of false ministry. Tremendous insight. A few things here that I want to point out and expound upon real quickly. First of all, he makes a reference in verse 12 to hidden reefs. This is a picture of false teachers. Now, the idea here is of something that is hiding below the surface. Like if you are, you know, at sea, you're on a vessel at sea and or in a boat, you know, in the sea or in an ocean. And right below the surface, there may be a hidden reef. So he's using an analogy here, you know, that which is lying beneath the surface. These are spots, hidden reefs, a picture of false teachers. The idea of something that is hidden right below the surface, but it's not obvious. So he's talking about, man, these are things that we would see proliferating in the last days. Hidden reefs. Number two, he talks about clouds without water. What is that? It's godless men who do not have the presence of God's Spirit in them. And if they don't have the presence of God's Spirit, no living water can flow from those clouds. So he paints this picture. You know, he's giving us an analogy, an illustration. You know, clouds produce water. But he said these false teachers, these false leaders, these false prophets, these false ministers, they cannot impart life because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. So that's why he says they are clouds without water. Here's another verse, verse 19 in the book of Jude. He says, "It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit, destitute of any higher spiritual life." My friends, these are a tremendous picture. Jude is painting a picture of the last days and how there would be this influx. Just like Jesus said, there would be this influx of false prophets, false teachers. false apostles, religious leaders, but they are wells without water. They are hidden reefs. They are trees without fruit. Trees without fruit, that's an interesting thing. This is a picture of false teachers, like that of a tree in late fall that is not bearing fruit. It is then considered dead. It's still in the ground, and it still has a resemblance of being alive, but it's not producing any fruit. So you pull it out of the ground because it's not producing anything. You pull it out of the ground, it is then considered twice dead. It's dead because it had a symbol. It had the look of being alive, but it produced nothing. It really was already dead. It's in the ground, but it's already dead. Then it's plucked up, and the Bible says, Jude says, that it's trees without fruit, devoid of the Holy Spirit, destitute of any higher spiritual life. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Two more things that he mentions. Raging waves of the sea. This is a metaphor illustrating that apostate teachers are like the raging waves of the sea. Raging waves. They stir up dirt. They stir up sediment. They make the water dirty and very murky. The image here is the foam of shameful deeds. Jude 13, wild waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their own shame and disgrace. Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. Here's the last thing he mentions, is wandering stars. These are stars that are unfixed in the solar system. They have no stable position. This is a picture of a false teacher. They are not set in place by God. They burn brightly for a moment, but then they fizzle out into darkness because they are wandering stars. Jude gives an incredible insight of what would be characteristic of the last days prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, I can think of men in the past like Sun Young Moon claimed to be, you know, the Messiah. Men like Jim Jones led, I think, like 800 and something people to commit suicide at the end of the 70s, late 70s, I believe it was. David Koresh, and even today, you could go and research, even today, many that are claiming to be a Messiah. My friends, Jude detailed them well. It's all part of the masquerade, Satan's masquerade. So here's our concluding main point today. The need to have discernment. Psalms 119 verse 66. He said, teach me good judgment, wise and right discernment and knowledge. For I have believed, I have trusted, relied on, and clung to your commandments. We need the word of God more than ever. What is discernment? Let's define it. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about what is true and what is false. That is why it is so vital, it is so important that my mind is renewed by the word of God. It is renewed by truth, because that is going to help me to discern. See, believers must examine everything carefully and hold on to that which is good. Listen to what this says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. Abstain from every evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. So we must examine everything carefully, hold on to that which is good. The last thing, we must pray and ask God for discernment. Here's a good prayer right here. Psalm 119 verse 125. I am your servant. Give me understanding. Listen to this. Discernment and comprehension. Give me the ability to be smart and wise, to discern. Give me understanding, discernment, and comprehension, that I may know discern and be familiar with the character of your testimonies. My friends, living in these last days, there is going to be such an influx of false ministries, false teachers, false prophets, false pastors. Listen, we are going to see it. Jesus said it would characterize the last days. We are already there. They are all over the place. And the question is, do we have the ability to discern? Jesus said this would happen prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We see it today. God in his word, he says, discern it. Be ready. When you see all these things, know that the coming of the Lord is near. It is even at the door. Are you ready, my friend? Are you ready? Right now, you can get ready. If you're not ready, you can pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you that you have given us the wisdom of your word. You've given us the insight of your word. And God, today we see it all around us. God, we see these ideas and these concepts, the power of the universe. Lord, these philosophies, these viewpoints, Lord, the syncretism that we just talked about. God, we see it all over. Lord, we see false prophets, false teachers, false ministries. God, they're all around us. We are in that era. And God, we want to be discerning. Help us to discern. And Father God, right now, and child of God, why don't you recommit your life to Jesus right now? Just say, Father, right now, I recommit my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Grant me a spirit of discernment. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you can bow your head right now and you can repent of your sin and you can give your life to Jesus and you can have assurance that when he comes back, he's going to call you unto himself. And that where he is, there you may be also. And Father, I pray for every lost person who may be hearing this sermon today, this teaching today. I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to touch them and bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. We bless you in the name of the Lord and look forward to seeing you again soon in Jesus' name.
Here's to your kingdom.